Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've been talking about some good poll numbers a little bit in the last week or so, and we've got a few more, thanks to Scott Rasmussen and Rasmussen Reports. The president's overall approval number dipping 6 points since Valentine's Day from 51% to 45%. He didn't give any reasons, but I'm guessing gas prices, might be in there somewhere, perhaps apologizing endlessly for the Koran-burning situation in Afghanistan and so forth. And not only is the president's approval rating down, he's actually losing within the margin of error in hypothetical matchups to Mitt Romney and Ron Paul, with Santorum just a little bit behind and Newt about 6 points behind. But in all those cases, Obama well below 50%. So it appears his likelihood of being reelected rises and falls with his approval rating, which isn't much of a surprise. But clearly, a president who says, "I have no plan to deal with the gas prices, but the other plan is terrible," isn't ringing out real well.
Probably similar to his view on Paul Ryan's plan for entitlements.
Right.
His job is not really to say what the solution should be. His job is to demagogue the solutions put forth by other people. At least that's how he seems to see his job. You know, a couple points worth noting about polls here. Now, look, we've seen Rasmussen give Republicans some very good news, and it was not that long ago. Rasmussen was giving Republicans some pretty ominous news. So I don't think these should necessarily be dismissed as, oh, there goes Rasmussen. He always tells Republicans what they want to hear. USA Today has been featuring some polling by Gallup that has been kind of fascinating. We talked about this in previous Martinis last week, and this morning they have Obamacare, still phenomenally unpopular in swing states. And oh, by the way, the allegedly unelectable Rick Santorum ahead of Obama in swing states, and the allegedly uninspiring Mitt Romney ahead of Barack Obama in swing states. Not by a ton, but the narrative of Barack Obama cruising to reelection continues to get interrupted here. And when you do start seeing poll numbers that seem suspiciously good for the president, Politico had a battleground poll out today that kind of suggested that things looked great for Obama. They had him up, I believe, up 10 on Romney and up by even more over Santorum. Took a look at their numbers, and I found out that amongst all registered voters, they had something like 71% saying that they were extremely likely to vote in November. Now, I suppose that's possible, but that seems awfully high to me. You know, I mean, turnout in most elections is nowhere near 70% registered voters.
Right.
Yes, of course, you're always going to get higher turnout in a presidential election year, but I can't help but suspect a certain number of voters who really aren't likely to show up and vote in November 2012 hate to tell people, yeah, I'm lazy, I'm probably not going to vote. So my guess is that some of these polls may be overestimating who is a likely voter. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind when you see these numbers. Obviously, you never really know precisely who's going to vote until election day. But, there's always a certain amount of folks who say they're going to vote and don't vote. And so keep an eye on that factor when you look at these poll numbers and as they bounce around, because just a few points change, and including some people who aren't likely to vote can end up with a very different-looking narrative come out of these polls.
Yeah, a couple other nice nuggets from Gallup. Over 70% of Americans want to repeal the individual mandate. It's much closer on full repeal of Obamacare, 47-44, but even 56% of Democrats want the individual mandate repealed. So I don't know if the Supreme Court justices read the polls. They probably shouldn't, but if they are, that could bode well for us in a couple months here. On to Martini number two now, and Jim, this is really unfamiliar territory for us. Chris Christie basically has a timeshare in the first Martini, but not so much with the second Martini, but that's where he finds himself today. And just a little bit of chiding, because we want to be fair here, but in the last few days, Chris Christie has said that other people have continued to ask him to reconsider and jump into the presidential race because somehow people think there's still time to do that. And then on Sunday morning on Face the Nation, Christie's in town for the governor's conference and meetings with the president and so forth. And Bob Schieffer asked him about whether or not if Romney loses Michigan on Tuesday, whether that would mean a brokered or contested convention. And here's what Christie says.
Is there a possibility if Governor Romney were to lose Michigan for a contested election, contested convention? Sure. That's a possibility. I still don't think it's a likelihood, though.
And so then Christie goes on to explain all the reasons why he thinks Mitt Romney is going to win. But the fact that he even left that little glimmer out there, you can see what it does to people like Bob Schieffer. Listen to this.
But I think Governor Romney's going to be the nominee at the end. People have talked about contested conventions. But
let me make sure I heard what you said. You said, sure, there is a possibility that if Governor Romney loses Michigan, we might go all the way to the convention and have a contested convention.
Sure.
Were you saying in there, if that should happen, you might rethink getting in?
No, I didn't say that at all.
So there you go. You get folks just creating headlines out of thin air for things that Christie didn't even say. He's pretty clear usually when he speaks, Jim, but just leaving that little bit of a window open, even in the minds of people like Schieffer who want to create more disunity inside the GOP, is not a good thing.
Governor Christie did say that everybody's got beer muscles on Twitter, and I guess everybody's got beer muscles criticizing him on a podcast. You know, he will actually be heading to that governor's meeting later today, and so my guess is I'm going to be circumspect in my criticism of Chris Christie, lest I run into the big man. It's one of those things where this clearly is a scenario that excites the press entirely, and so I don't know whether the issue is with Bob Schieffer's hearing aid, that he completely misheard what Christie said, or just that this is such a tantalizing prospect that even when you say, no, I don't think it's going to happen, you're saying, so you're not certain it won't happen, that they will exploit any little daylight you appear in there. It's tough to begrudge Christie for saying, yeah, it could happen, because yes, anything's theoretically possible in politics. There's a little bit of humble bragging when you say, oh, everywhere I go, people are annoying me, telling me to run for president. Oh, poor Christie. I don't doubt that's actually happening. And if everyone were encouraging me to run for president, I'd be tempted to brag about it too. But I think that it's a temptation best avoided, because could that scenario occur? Yes. As time goes by, I get a little less convinced that any one of these figures in the wings could step in and unify the party. And this goes for Christie. This goes for Jeb Bush. This goes for Palin, for Mitch Daniels. Maybe my ideal of a Bobby Jindal, Pat Toomey ticket could make everybody happy. But that's just because I like those guys so much. I'm not quite sure it's doing the party that much good to believe in this door number three magic scenario that comes in and makes everything all better, because everyone can kind of project their ideal onto that mystery figure. But I don't think there is any figure who could really unify the party and would end up with any more unified than going with the candidate who ends up winning the primaries or ending up winning the most delegates in these primaries. And we'll see how this shakes out. And it's tough when the media is asking you the question, so what do you think of a contested convention? But in the end, I think that this stuff is best kind of downplayed by Republicans, and I think Christie tried in this answer, but perhaps he needs to try a little harder when dealing with the likes of Bob Schieffer.
Yeah, exactly right. And Schieffer asked him at another point, are you listening to these people? Are you going to get into the race? He said, absolutely not. I'm with Mitt Romney. And Schieffer still gets to that question. If we get to a broker convention, would you run? And
You say you're not running, what you really mean is that you're running, right? I mean,
maybe.
Remember Christie actually said, I would have to, what do I have to do, kill myself to get you guys to believe I'm not running for president? And then, of course, that would just begin the speculation of zombie Christie. back from the dead. And what does America needs a knowledge-based economy. So what does he want? Brains. As you can tell, I spent a lot of time thinking about zombie presidential candidates. This is kind of a silly season. And there's a point where, Christie's trying to do his job being governor of New Jersey and a leader in the party and as a surrogate for Romney. And at some point, you kind of have to just, do your best to swat that stuff down. And if you give the media any little sliver of opportunity, they will do their best to foster that perception there.
Exactly. Well, on to Martini number three now, and away from substantive people like Chris Christie, to the Oscars, the most vapid night of the year in the entertainment industry. And what I see is kind of a personality, internal turmoil among these people, Jim, because on the one hand, you have Billy Crystal at one moment asking the people in the front row to help him buy the Dodgers, and then in the next moment, he's making Occupy Wall Street jokes about how Harry Potter made billions of dollars and they only have to pay 14%. So clearly these people love being rich, but for some reason, they don't think of themselves as the 1%.
Yeah, a couple of points on Oscar night. And I realize this is a little far afield from our usual realm of political range of our martinis. But look, we are a full spectrum podcast. And so we can discuss matters a little outside this, particularly on days where there were no other perfect crazy martinis. A couple of things jumped out at me. One, you did get this feeling last night that Hollywood kind of realizes that they're in danger, that people don't go to the movies the way they used to. Everything is going digital. The technology is changing before their eyes, and the tastes of the culture are changing before their eyes. It's become almost a cliche when writing about Oscar night to observe that most of the Best Picture nominees people have not watched. I don't think I saw any of the Best Picture nominees this year, and the last time I had was when they nominated the Lord of the Rings movies. Now, some of this is going to be the natural tension between art house movies and popular movies, but there is this sense that Hollywood has lost touch with a good chunk of its audience and doesn't know how to entertain that audience other than to adapt comic books and, you know, popular series like Harry Potter. And, you know, as a fan of all that stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there's more to life than the big summer blockbusters. Greg, it's kind of fascinating that they made a biopic about Margaret Thatcher. Do you know anyone who saw that movie?
Zero.
Okay, and we're two righties. We're in, you know, the nation's capital or near Washington. You would figure in the realm of all the people on the right that we know, somebody would have said, oh, I saw that movie and I loved it, or oh, I saw that movie. And Meryl Streep got the Oscar last night, so allegedly it was a great performance. Some folks I'd heard said it was bashing her, that it kind of was a designed to make her look bad. We've always kind of said, oh, well, where's a Reagan biopic? Where's the story about the heroism of our soldiers? Act of Valor came out last weekend and is on my must-catch list at this point. There's potential for stories to be told, to appeal out to the heartland, to appeal all these folks who kind of roll their eyes at Hollywood these days. And for some reason, it's just not getting through. And I don't know if it's whether at some point Americans just kind of lose interest in Hollywood. That going to the movies just stops becoming part of their traditional behavior patterns. I don't know if it's because of downloadable media and Netflix and on-demand cable and all that stuff. But the world of how we get our entertainment is changing rapidly. And I think every Oscar night you see a very tight-knit, cloistered, you know, community, probably jaw-droppingly out of touch with the experiences of the average American. And they're becoming more and more self-aware of it, and they don't know what to do about it. And so I don't know whether, you know, the idea is to get Brangelina out living in Kansas for a while and seeing how the rest of the country lives, or what the right way to do it is. But it definitely feels like there is this ever widening gap between those who create our popular culture and those who consume it. And, you know, Hollywood's in deep trouble because of that. And so I'll drink to that.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely drink to that. That's great news because, you know, like you said, in recent years, you and I have not seen most, if not just about all of the Best Picture nominees, but we're not alone. Most of these things, nobody's even heard of till the nominations come out because they haven't had any commercial success whatsoever. And, you know, that's okay until they start making some things that people actually want to see. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.